our conversation is extremely rare, almost unique. Europe now, the European Union, have placed itself as an enemy, and the enemy should be destroyed.
Grüezi miteinander, ganz herzlich willkommen und einen wunderschönen guten Tag, meine sehr verehrten Damen und Herren, liebe Freunde aus nah und fern. Ich begrüße Sie zu einer Sondersendung von Weltwoche Daily, die andere Sicht, unabhängig, kritisch, zuversichtlich, trotz allem aus Moskau. Und ich habe hier neben mir stehen einen sehr einflussreichen und interessanten Mann. Es ist Professor Sergei Karaganov. Nicht zum ersten Mal reden wir miteinander. Wir befinden uns in seinem Büro im Herzen von Moskau und hatten soeben eine sehr ausgedehnte Konversation über die Weltlage, vor allem über den Krieg in der Ukraine. Und es ist meines Erachtens sehr, sehr wichtig, dass wir uns diese einflussreichen russischen Stimmen gerade auch im deutschsprachigen Raum Europas anhören. Sie werden viel zu wenig zur Kenntnis genommen. Man muss sich damit auseinandersetzen und es ist sehr erhellend, horizonterweiternd und ich glaube auch wirklichkeitsbewusstseinsfördernd, sich mit Kollegen, mit Exponenten, mit Persönlichkeiten wie Professor Karaganov zu unterhalten. Now I will switch to English. Professor Karaganov, thanks for your time. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk to you. We have just discussed the whole international situation, the development of the war in Ukraine, and some tendencies in the Russian government, perceptions, tendencies in Europe. My first question, what is, considering everything, your most important message to our viewers in Europe?
First of all, it is extremely important to understand that our conversation is extremely rare, almost unique. We stopped talking to each other in Europe. Of course, I'm Eurasian, I'm turning my country to the east, but the thing that we are not talking with Europeans at all is bizarre. Mm-hmm. The second question.
No diplomacy between Russia and Europe in spite of a war where Europe is heavily involved. I mean, how dangerous is the situation at the moment? We have a perception in our media that they say President Zelensky is making progress. Russia is about to lose this military confrontation. Is that so? And if it is so, what does it mean?
We're getting tired of this war. We made a few mistakes at the beginning of this confrontation. Now we, both in terms of society, in terms of our elites, are coming to a point where we would have to decide what is the fate of Europe. I don't want elimination of Europe because in many ways, I mean, it is a part of our genome. However, Europe now, European Union, have placed itself as an enemy, and the enemy should be destroyed.
You have made headlines with your proposal that Russia should use tactical nuclear weapons in this confrontation against the supporters of Ukraine in Europe. Is that a serious foreign policy proposal? Is it a provocation or is it a doomsday scenario that in your heart you deeply fear?
I have been working on that issue for quite a few years. Now, I truly believe that if things go like they go, we should use our nuclear potential, and not tactical intermediate, I mean, with hundreds of megatons, against centers of decisions in Europe. However, I am a believer. I go to church and I pray that that wouldn't happen. But Europeans are Europeans, meaning Brussels elites, are inviting disaster on Europe.
There is a lesson of history. When big powers encounter problems on the battlefield in wars that they have to win, and in my perception, Russia has to win this war against Ukraine. I mean, the stakes are too high. It would be a disaster, of course, for your country. But in the historical perspective, this means in a desperate situation, great powers use desperate measures. At what point are we in this war? Or in other words, how dangerous is the whole situation right now regarding the Ukraine?
First of all, I mean, we're not in a desperate situation. We could continue this war for a while. But losing our best man for nothing, and against an enemy which we despise, is a futile endeavor. So, a year or two from now, Russia should and would decide whether it would use its utmost weapons against Europe. And I was a provocateur, I mean, 4 or 5 years ago. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm now supported by an absolute majority of Russians and Russian elites. I hope that my recipes would never be put into force.
I mean, this is an amazing statement, Sergei. This means that you're saying that if things continue the way they are, that in probably 2 years' time, we could have a big war in Europe, in Germany, in Poland, or wherever this could strike. Is that your perception?
I hope that it would happen. But in order to prevent that, my prescription is to start to attack the source of evil. And these are Euro capitals, whatever they are, I mean, including Brussels, Warsaw, or Berlin.
You are very close to the Russian leadership. It is well known that you are on very close terms with the Russian foreign minister. You have been an advisor to several governments. You know how the Russian elites are ticking, what drives them. What has the European Union, what have European powers such as Germany, Great Britain, France, have to do in order to prevent this terrible scenario?
Get out. I understand the problems within the European Union, within Europe as a whole. They really need to be desperate because of their failures. Now, we do not need an inch of European territory, but if they continue, we would have to stop this quagmire. I hope that my prognosis and my ideas will never come true.
In Europe, if one reads the newspapers, one has the impression that these Russian views are not really taken seriously. They say, yeah, Russia is losing, and we have to teach Putin a lesson. He's an aggressor. He's about to restore the Soviet Union. He will attack the European Union anyway till 28, 29. What do you say to these voices?
This is unbelievable. Nobody in Russia, of course, there are some fringe persons think of attacking Europe. We do not need an inch of their territory. The people who are around me want to be as far away from Europe and from European experience as far as possible, but without a war or without devastating Europe. Mm.
Who's the politician at the moment you count on? For example, we have many German viewers. Is there a special message you have to the German elites, to the German political scene?
Our German neighbors should remember that they have started two world wars. They have been privy to numerous holocausts. And if they continue the way they do, they will be punished. I do not want that.
In Switzerland, coming from a neutral country, we are a bit the bystanders of these developments, and we look at them and we see the great powers and the big powers fighting each other. You have a message to Switzerland?
No. Of course, the Swiss should decide for them. I was absolutely flabbergasted when Switzerland joined the Western Alliance in terms of sanctions. But Germans, when they started again talking about having the strongest army in Europe, now that means that they are mad or they're going amok. It is a problem. I don't want this problem to be solved by nuclear weapons by Russia.
How do you see the position of the American president? He came into office saying he wanted to stop the war in Ukraine within one day. Now it didn't work out. He's occupied in the Middle East. Is Donald Trump somehow the deus ex machina, who could somehow solve the situation?
You are a journalist. I'm not a journalist. Mr. Trump is doing exactly what the American deep state have been talking, have been telling him. But the American deep state, and hopefully eventually the European deep state, whomever they are, should stop this slide towards the World War.
Do you see, Professor Karaganov, a silver lining? Is there some beam of hope, or do you see just darkness ahead?
The beam of hope is our conversation.
Well, let's not overstate it. Thank you very much for these remarks. I have to translate it, and we will have subtitles, but I think it's important to give also a German a summary of this conversation. Meine Damen und Herren, wenn Sie jetzt dem Englischen nicht in jeder Hinsicht haben folgen können, das sind sehr gravierende Aussagen, die Professor Karaganov hier gemacht hat. Ein Mann, der beteuerte, dass er am Anfang mit seiner Position, Russland müsse den Krieg eskalieren, um den Europäern die Bedeutung der nuklearen Abschreckung wieder in Erinnerung zu rufen. Das sei eine intellektuelle Provokation gewesen, sozusagen ein Wake-up-Call, ein Weckruf. Aber er stelle zu seinem eigenen Entsetzen fest, you notice to your own astonishment, dass diese Position, eine Außenseiterposition, in wesentlichen russischen Eliten an Bedeutung gewonnen hat und tatsächlich heute für einen gangbaren Weg gehalten wird, dass man diesen Krieg eskaliert, um eben die Schwierigkeiten, die sich jetzt abzeichnen, im ganzen Schlachtgemenge zu überwinden. Und dessen sei man sich nicht bewusst. Die zweite entscheidende Aussage ist, dass es seit Hunderten von Jahren keine diese Art von Gesprächsverweigerung nicht mehr gegeben hat. Es gibt keinerlei Diplomatie, keinerlei Gespräche zwischen Europa und Russland. Und hier ist auch eine gewisse Ratlosigkeit zu spüren und auch die Mahnung, dass das gefährlich ist, weil dann natürlich auch die russischen Eliten nicht mehr verstehen, was ist denn da eigentlich in Europa los, wo man doch über Jahrzehnte auch des Kalten Krieges die Diskussionen aufrechterhalten habe. I have a final question for you, Professor Karaganov, because this is probably not something our viewers are aware of. We have seen some very interesting developments last week. Also this week, we have seen some kind of, how do you call it, a test or a training of the nuclear armed forces of Russia. We have had a telephone conversation between your foreign minister Lavrov and the American foreign minister Rubio. As far as I know, it was a surprise conversation. It had not a long planning. Could you enlighten us? What is happening? What is the dynamic within Russia? Also considering that your president said to their embassies in Kiev, you should leave the city. There was a retaliative strike after this bombing of a school. What's happening?
We're getting tired. I mean, for 4 years we have been conducting a war of attrition. But that has to be stopped. So I have persuading our elites to go up the escalation. And they have already done that, I mean, several times. I hope that their utmost tests on the level of escalation wouldn't happen, because Russia could survive easily without Europe. Actually, we are not a European country, we are a Russian country. Nah, but we do not want Europe to be eliminated from the map of the earth.
But you have also heightened the security in the airspace. Is that correct, that we have now a new stage? Is Russia preparing for a big escalation now?
We are ready for a big escalation. But again, the question, we will go get close to the nuclear threshold. And people like myself and saying that in the end, to stop the idiotic drive of European elites towards the Holocaust should be stopped by nuclear weapons. I hope we will stop before that.
Can the train to war be stopped, or are we already in a terrible slide?
It should be stopped, hopefully. Before, but my recipe is attacking some of the center of decision making in Europe, first by conventional weapons and then by nuclear weapons. But I'm a believer, so I go to church and pray that that wouldn't happen. But that is an absolute necessity in order to prevent the really big Third World War.
So in your view, we are at the very, very dangerous stage, probably the most dangerous stage of this war since its beginning?
Absolutely. And I'm blaming my government of becoming so indecisive. We thought that we could manage this war on along the conventional lines. It is not a war on the battlefields of Ukraine, Ukrainians who are sacrificed as cannon fodder. It is really a war between Europe and Russia, between civilizations. We do not want to win this war. We will win it, but we shall win it. But the victory will be pyrrhic.
If President Putin would give you a phone call now and ask you, Professor Karaganov, what should I do? What would be your advice?
I will never tell you.
Okay, next in our next conversation, we try to find out. Let's hope there is a next conversation listening to you. Meine Damen und Herren, ich habe noch ein paar Fragen nachgeschoben und das ist doch auch noch wichtig, das auf Deutsch zu übersetzen, unabhängig jetzt von den Untertiteln. Professor Karaganov sagt, dass wir tatsächlich die gefährlichste Stufe dieses Kriegs seit seiner Eröffnung jetzt erreicht haben. Die russischen Streitkräfte haben in der letzten Woche eine Art Training absolviert der nuklearen Kapazitäten und seit langem zum ersten Mal nicht mit konventionellen Waffen, sondern wirklich mit Atombewaffnung, also um hier auch die Ernsthaftigkeit vor Augen zu führen. Man hat die westlichen Regierungen gewarnt, es gebe da einen Schlag gegen Kiew, man hat die Botschaften entsprechend informiert, der Luftraum ist stärker gesichert. Das sind alles Entwicklungen, die bei uns viel zu wenig zur Kenntnis genommen werden. Und ich möchte einfach unterstreichen, damit das richtig interpretiert wird, Professor Karaganov plädiert nicht für diese Dynamik. Er sagt, man müsse sie stoppen, aber sie sei sozusagen auch aus den Fehlern der russischen Regierung heraus zu einer Notwendigkeit geworden, wenn sich die Sache dermaßen weiterentwickelt. Professor Karaganov, thank you very much for your precious time. Let's hope we can prevent this.
Yeah, absolutely. And next time before you come for an official interview, let's have a lunch and or dinner so we could talk very openly.
Okay, also wir werden uns das nächste Mal dann noch bei einem Abendessen treffen, um noch offener zu sprechen. Ja, wir haben schon recht offen gesprochen. Ich danke Ihnen ganz herzlich, Professor Karaganov, again. Thanks for your time. Meine Damen und Herren, vielen Dank. Ich glaube, es ist sehr, sehr wichtig, dass man diese authentischen Stimmen hört und die Sache dann entsprechend auf sich wirken lässt und seine Überlegungen anstellt. Vielen herzlichen Dank. Wir melden uns zurück. Ihnen allen trotz allem einen schönen Tag.